woman got very indignant. She went to my dad and told me, said your son broke my thunder jug. And said, I be scared to go out at night. And said, I has to have one. So you can have to find me a new one. And I remember you know, I be scared to go out at night. And said, I just gonna have to have a new one.
By the way, what would she say that you did to the thunder jug? You picked up a rock and you what?
She said, I throwed a rock at it. Said, I throwed a rock at that thunder.
Did you say chunk?
No, she said a rock. It was a rock. It was a brick.
Did you ever use chunk? You chunked a rock at
it? Oh, yeah, chunked. It's quite chunked at it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's quite a word. Chunked it.
That means throw it, right?
I'll never forget when I broke it. Tell my dad I broke a thunder jug. Oh boy.
If somebody says your fence needs fixing, when are you gonna do it? And the man wants to say, well, I'm thinking about it and I may do it next week. How would he say that? What's the fixing to do it? Or
yeah, he'd say, well, I'll get your fence fixed sometime. I'm getting rid of that now, and I'll have it fixed for you by this time next week, we say.
Do people say, I'm fixing to do it?
Oh, yeah, I'm fixing to do this, and I'm fixing to do that. In fact, I heard a preacher, yeah, in one of his sermons not long ago, said he was fixing to go to the convention.
Yeah, right.
A preacher with a PhD degree said he was fixing to get ready. He's fixing to go to the convention.
Well, that's interesting. These words survive. I hope they do, because it makes the language rich and varied and interesting. How about do people add, and if they're talking about singing in church, they were singing, would they say a singing, a laughing, a dance? Oh, they were dancing. Does that sound right?
That sound all right, yeah. All right.
And if they say, well, if you need money, I'll give you some. And they say, no, I don't want to be what to anybody?
Want to be beholden.
To anybody.
The word is beholden. Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of them. I don't want to be beholden to nobody. Uh-huh. In other words, I don't want to be any obligations. For instance, you pick up, go out here in the country and you pick up some journalist, some poor white. They give you a ride? Yeah. And the ride maybe a mile or two down the road. He gets out of the car and he'll invariably say, what do I owe you? Owe me anything. Glad to take you. All right. I asked a fellow not long ago, I said, why do they say that? He said, well, I'll tell you why they say it. They don't want to be under any obligations to you. He's offered to pay you. You refused it. So that clears it. You don't owe you a dime. You don't want to be beholden to you, see. But they'll always push the hand. They probably hadn't got a nickel. Mm-hmm. Say, what do I owe you? Nothing. Glad to have you. Glad to ride. All right. Mm-hmm. And he's no further obligations. He offered to pay you. You refused it. So he's home free.
I see.
And that's why they do it. Now, I had never thought of it in just that light, but that's exactly why they do it.
And it's kind of courtesy, isn't it?
That's right. He offered to pay you. you refused it.
So he's not beholden. How about somebody saying, "Now I had forgotten about that, but now I recollect, remember, mind."
Well, now the older people use that word "recollect" a whole lot. I was down here at the courthouse one of those big trees growing. This old man was looking and says, "You know, I recollect the day those trees was planted. Mm-hmm. I recollect." That was used quite frequently by the older people.
Mm-hmm. Instead and what's of the reverse? No, I don't.
No, I forget. Uh-huh. I forget.
And the road is under repairs. You say, well, you can't go through there. The road's all
tore up, and they're working on the road. Uh-huh. The road all tore up.
And if